We are recording.
Okay. So it is about 6:03. September 15th, I call this monthly business meeting of the National Airport Authority to order. And Chris, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Chairman Woods?
Present.
Vice Chairman Law?
Present.
Treasurer Heath was slightly delayed. Secretary Holland?
Present.
And Director Duquette?
Present.
Okay, before we get underway with public input, I think just about everybody here probably knows that Judge Kenneth McLaughlin, Shane's dad, passed away not too long ago. And I just, he loves this airport, and he's had a significant impact on it over many years. So I just want to offer a moment of silence, for Judge Kenneth McLaughlin. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's see. We'll call public input. Does anybody have any comments on anything pertaining to this evening's agenda? We'll take that as a no. Minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of July 21, 2021.
Hold on here, so.
I'll put forth a motion to accept the minutes from the July 20, 2021.
I'll second it.
Okay, discussion. Okay, all those in favor of approving the NAA public minutes of July 21, 2021, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. First, I'm going to give Dave the opportunity to speak to the treasurer's report, so I'll table that for the moment. Communications. The Airport Authority has received two letters since our last meeting. First one from Perlman Realty, a thank you letter regarding the sale of 102 Perimeter Road and the transfer of lease. Very much appreciated. And also the session communication is a lease extension request, for 9 Perimeter Road, and that's one of the reasons why Shane has joined us tonight. I will take up that under new business. So that brings us to, I think I've got the papers here, the tower report. Let's dig that up.
The color of the front of the wall.
It's got to be.
What's that?
The color's throwing us off.
I made a comment on the school. It's a nice color. I like it.
Is that the budget?
You guys can photocopy it.
Okay, so for August, actually, let's start with July. July, I'm seeing $6,752 operations. Down 995 over the previous month, and actually down 73 versus the same month last year. And for August, 7,389 operations, up 637 versus July, and but down 992 versus August of last year. So, not sure why traffic is trending downward a little bit.
I think there's a weather correlation.
Way
out. Yeah. It'd be interesting to know. Yeah. Maybe see the graph, like VFR days.
What was the name of the hurricane?
Yeah.
So, anyway, traffic's been down a little bit, but hopefully that'll perk back up if the weather holds. So.
I thought the same thing, and I thought everybody was so stir crazy by the time we got to August last year that there was a lot of flying going on.
Yeah. And that brings us to airport manager's report.
Okay. No recent events, upcoming events this weekend. Excuse me, we have the Young Eagles at Nashville on Saturday. It's going to be a small Young Eagles event compared to what we've done in the past. It's basically people have to pre-register for this. So far, there's only 8 pilots and I think just north of 20 kids going on these rides. So it's going to be a small event coordinated with Bob Bird and Eric Wiseman and myself. And we'll be running it out of the hangar at 83. And the planes will be staged out, essentially where the Air Direct planes are staged out on the ramp right now. Other upcoming event, September 25th, the next Saturday, we have a Summer Fun 2021 Wheels and Wings event. And you're all familiar with that. We've had those here in the past. Again, this is going to be scaled down just a little bit, one because we didn't get permission to run this event till late in the season, and the Parks and Recs Department wasn't able to get as many vehicles to show. In terms of aircraft, I have the National Guard coming with the Blackhawk helicopter again. DART has agreed to bring a helicopter, and we are speaking with the New Hampshire State Police, still trying to get them to join the event. And we have several people on the airport. They're going to bring their planes for either static displays or pressure plane displays. So if anybody knows, if anybody else would like to join this, I know, Jess, I sent you and Carol the paperwork on this, so if you want to bring your beautiful planes out and have them bought at or put on a static display, that would be great. So, other items of interest. Phase 4 of the pavement maintenance project is complete, and we'll let Nick talk a little bit about that. But all in all, that project came out absolutely wonderful, and a lot of people have expressed their satisfaction with it. We had a couple little hiccups. We had quite a few hiccups in it, but Continental addressed every one of them, and it came out great. Real happy with it. Now that it's over, give myself and all kinds of other people time to focus on other things around the airport, because that was a long. It was over 4 months. July 12th, we had a Teams meeting with Gale Associates, Mason LaSalle of Sargent Corporation, where we discussed Taxiway Alpha project that's coming up. Initially, we thought we might get this started this summer, but we've not received the funding yet, so at this point, this project won't go off till the spring. Nick will talk some more about this. On July 30th, the New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics contracted Jacobs Engineering, and they were to do PCI, pavement condition studies, on all of the airports in New Hampshire. So they came to our airport, and they measured all the cracks and all the ramps. And this is actually a good thing. It'll help us get funding in the future for our future projects, i.e. the golf ramp project that is, I'll talk about in a second. They were here for a little over a week. And September 1st, we had the final inspection for the pavement maintenance. Again, with Continental Gale Associates, everything went well. Nick will speak more about that. Also on September 1st, we had our CIP meeting with New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics and Gale Associates, and we went over our capital improvement plan for the next 10 years. Minor revisions on it, pretty much staying the course as to what we have right now. September 8th, golf ramp scoping meeting with New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics, FAA, John Kirkendall and Lisa Lesperance were on that call, and Gale Associates. And again, Nick will speak some more about the golf ramp project. It's actually a much needed project, and we're going to go forward with that, hopefully get that funding next year. Two teen hangars for sale at National right now, one located at 13 Perimeter Road, one's available at 127 Perimeter Road. Also, there's community hangar rental available from National Jet Chain and Infinity Aviation as well. One more thing I want to talk about is, in our last meeting, we talked about an anonymous donor that made a, I think it was a $2,500 donation to the National Airport Authority. And I had asked people to come up with suggestions as to what we should do with this. Secretary Holland reached out to me and had a great idea, and it's to do some aerial advertising with a banner tow operation that's based out in Hampton, and they could do it out of here. I didn't hear from anybody else. I'd like to get a couple more ideas, but I think this is a great idea because everybody notices banners being towed around real slow up in the sky.
And it's an airplane.
Yeah.
What better advertising?
I thought that was a great idea, Jess, and we'll have to think about what we can do on that banner. Either if anybody else has any other ideas.
For complaints, call Chris.
Oh,
man. Too noisy.
International Airport to fly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very generic.
I think so. So anyways, that's what I have to report on this one. Anybody have any questions, comments, criticisms?
Do we want to take an action item for the next meeting to talk more about the advertising? Or
yeah, so like I said, it'd be nice if we had a couple more ideas. Like I said, I like your idea, but...
Yeah, we need some input from the rest of the board.
I guess an idea that I had in... was, you know, we've been talking about selling swag. Well, if somebody made a donation, maybe we could make hats up and they could be giveaways with the National Airport with this money. And that would go quite a long ways. Or even t-shirts or something like that, but things that we could give out to the general public at events, etc. So, but yeah, maybe next month we could finalize this and have some other people come up with some other ideas. Our final knight has arrived at the round table.
More like the final suit. No.
Okay.
Also, yeah. Okay. Nick, before I get to you, I'm going to circle back and to the treasurer's report.
You're on.
You really?
I hope you're right.
Let's go, you got out of it.
Let's go to Plan B. Who was going to do this before I got here? The treasurer's report is actually, I'm just going to, I kind of anticipated this. Thank you very much, everybody. The balance sheet's looking really strong. I talked about this before, but the surplus we had in prior fiscal 2021, plus a couple of months of revenues exceeding expenses. So the balance sheet is really strong. It's only been 2 or 3 months since the end of the season, so it's July and August, so 2 months. And I went through the numbers, and there's nothing that's really worth talking about. The I don't know if it's on the agenda, or I sent everybody an email about the budget adjustment. Is that in here anywhere?
It's your email attached.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'd rather do, rather than take your time with some detail of the actual 2 months numbers, which are in pretty good shape, I'd rather talk about the budget and the proposed adjustment to the budget. I don't know what the protocol is on that. The budget passed a few months ago, but we can change it because I think it makes sense to change it. If it was just minor stuff, I wouldn't have worried about it. In fact, if there was some payroll stuff I talked about in there that we need to adjust for, and if it was just that, I probably wouldn't, recommend changing it. After year end, and after we voted in the budget, there's two things that have happened. One is a grant, I guess we're going to vote on tonight, of roughly $57,000. And then, so I think that's important to put in the budget because it just, we know about it. And rather than talking about a variance all year long, I think we should just put it in the budget. And then, while we're not putting the budget, there is another grant that I guess is in the works.
Right.
For $59,000. So there's it's all good. I'm not sure quite sure what we're going to do with it yet, but other than build up some more surplus for rainy days, which there might be some down the road, but that's a discussion for another day. I think there's a lot of opportunity here that we need to spend a lot more time talking about than tonight. But at this point, I would recommend, as I mentioned in my email, putting in those two budget adjustments and just rolling it forward to the rest of the year.
Okay. Well, first, why don't we get this one agenda item, taken care of, approval of the NAA, approval of the July and August financial statements subject to audit. Motion?
Sure. second it.
Okay. And do we want to make this, you know, Dave discussed the last 2 months, you know, worth of financial statements before we...
Well, I kind of touched on it, you know, basically by saying there's nothing worth, I guess, except, you know, we continue to, you know, we haven't spent a lot of money yet, so there's never revenue to exceed expenses for the 2 months, and, you know, right now I'm not aware of anything to worry about.
Okay. No, I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. So, all those in favor of approving the July and August 2021 financial statements subject to audit, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so that passes. I guess since we're talking about finances, why don't we continue, you know, with the budget issues?
Well, if it's, I don't really care if we vote on it tonight or not.
Okay.
I just wanted to make people aware of it.
Okay.
So if you want to put it on an agenda later on, we can. And for the next meeting, I don't care. I mean,
I'm fine voting on it. I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. I mean, weirdly, procedurally, if you want, I mean, maybe we should be approving this, taking it before we actually put it in the budget, but I don't. It's really just a minor issue.
You're adding money to the budget.
Yeah, we're any risk we're not going to accept the $57,000.
Well, where is that on the agenda?
Certificate of vote.
Okay.
So that's what this is.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe we just table that, took the budget until after we vote on that. So procedure, that's probably good.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll just table the budget. Well, first of all, did we approve the financials?
Yes.
Approve the financials.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have the second $59.
Exactly.
I was going to do. You don't have to keep revisiting it.
If you want to table the budget thing till next meeting, that's fine too, and see what happens with the second one.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
Sure.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. So that brings us back to Airport Engineers Report.
Okay. Mr. Polito for the report. The first project on the rail update is the Daily Maintenance Phase 2 project. As Chris mentioned, this project is now substantially complete as of August 24th, 2021. That date will represent the start of the contractor's one-year guarantee. So if there are any observed failures or deficiencies between now and August 24th of next year, you simply notify Dale, we will reach out to Continental, and within 14 days they have to rectify it, or they propose a plan to rectify. So you have your clock ticking on that. The final inspection was held on Wednesday, September 1st. There were minimal observed corrective actions needed. I think the biggest issue was that there was more than an inch and a half drop off coming off the pavement from pavement onto the new grass. So we notified Continental, and they should be out here to fix that shortly. They have, I believe, 30 days for the contract once they receive the final punches to get all that work done. A contract amendment has been prepared to capture out-of-scope costs that were rendered as part of the project. The amendment total is $65,977. And if you take a look here, there are four items, one of which being a credit that is due back to the airport and NHDOT. So what happened was this project was scoped in 2018, one of my first projects as a project manager. And I had inadvertently added a 15% markup on our subconsultant fees for things like survey, geotech, and material testing. While we were having our contract reviewed by NHDOT, they mentioned that that was not an eligible cost. So we actually owe the airport the credit of $311.90. So what is going to happen is once this supplemental agreement is process, we will cut a check from Yale to the airport authority. You will take your $311.90 off the top and then cut a check to the state of New Hampshire, NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics, for $5,926. And I apologize for the paperwork process. The second item is implementation and preparation of the airport's stormwater pollution prevention plan. During a meeting, we discussed the airport is seeing. So we had originally programmed the brand new strip for a cost of, I think, $23,000. Looking at the work we completed to date, we're at about $13,000, and we still have the comment period and any revisions that result from that. So I carried an extra $5,000 in there to cover those costs. There was additional construction administration that amounted to $16,015, and the bulk of it is with regards to resident engineering. When we had originally scoped the project, we had anticipated, I believe it was a 75 calendar day construction period. During the bidding, the bidders requested additional contract time. We bumped it to 105 days, and now we just need to cope to recapture the additional resident engineering services with that. So because the grant for the construction phase was funded 100% by the FAA, the only financial impact resulting from this agreement will be the credit of $311.90 to the Nashua Airport Authority. And again, upon execution, we'll handle that financial exchange. So upon completion of the final punch list work, we will process the final reimbursement request and project closeout documents on behalf of the authority. So recommended actions are please approve Gale's supplemental agreement and please sign the contractor's guarantee document upon receipt. I don't actually think we have to sign that. We have received the contractor's guarantee signed by Continental with their seal on it. Did Dan email you a copy of that? We'll get you a copy of that. Any questions on the pavement maintenance project?
Just out of curiosity, why the SWIFT is part of the pavement maintenance project? Does each one have its own, or is this for the whole airport?
This is for the whole airport. This is your industrial SWIFT.
Yeah.
That obtained coverage under the multi-sector general permit. The construction SWIFT is a different program through EPA, but we shoehorned it in because there was budget remaining within this grant. So it is an eligible cost, but not as a standalone project. It has to be part of something bigger.
There was a new MSGB this year issued, and you had to be compliant.
Believe me, I know.
So what's an MS what? Multi-sector general permit, stormwater.
Okay.
So this is a way to, you know, get it paid for as approved by Carol.
Great.
And so that's why we did like that.
Because, I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to look into it, but the SWIFT, is there anything dealing with the place to wash an airplane?
That is addressed.
Okay, it's in there.
Yeah, and de-icing.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Moving on, the second project is the rehabilitation of Taxiway Alpha. Yeah, no real update here. We're waiting on grant funding from the Initiative Bureau of Aeronautics. So no recommended actions at this time. And then we have a new project this month, the Rehabilitate Golf Ramp and a Foxtrot Ramp project. The budget has been placed here. This is a planning level estimate. We do not anticipate it to be $4 million, but that is based on the CIP estimate, which usually you want to carry a higher cost just for programming purposes with the FAA and send it to local share if one will be required. We don't know at this point whether or not the next round of grants will be 100% funded.
So next, that's actually the the electric tie downs that
no
golf and hotel is it hotel
no this is Foxtrot and Golf, so it'll be
Foxtrot
and the
Golf.
Infinity Transient Ramp.
Okay.
And everything south of there, it's actually the golf ramp project. We're trying to blend in Foxtrot as well, so we don't have this, you know, 100 yards of old patch pavement in the middle of it.
Right.
And we had the meeting the other day with John Kirkendall from the FAA, and I think it was he had suggested that we try to blend it all as one.
His opinion was get as much of it as you can.
Right.
So that's what you're saying. That's the scope is somewhere around $4 million
total project. Sure. That is what we're carrying. I don't anticipate it to be that.
You gotta say that's just the you know, just the looking at it. It doesn't seem like it's flat. It's open. It's just there's nothing.
Exactly.
And with this and this stuff we just did is, you know, $3 million, and taxiways 2.2, I mean, I can't see it being that much.
Like Nick said, we're carrying this. So
yeah, I don't want to scare them off either.
Well, we're not.
Well, as we get into the design, we're going to do a highly detailed engineering assessment that we'll put into the design so that bidders know. So the COVID meeting was held on Thursday, September 8th to coordinate the design effort necessary to administer the project. From that meeting, a draft scope of work has been prepared and submitted to NHDOT and to the airport for review. Once comments are received, we will prepare the documents to assist the airport in obtaining independent fee estimates. In the background, we are also coordinating the work of our subconsultants to the required survey and geotechnical exploration. So, recommended action, please review Gail's draft scope of work and provide any comments or feedback that you have. That was, Chris, you received that draft scope of work in an email, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then, once we have finalized the scope of work, please attend an independent fee estimate upon receipt of Gail's IFB pro forma. Any questions on the golf rent project? Hearing none, under general items, we do have one item, and that is related to the SWIP. Gail submitted a notice of intent for MSGP coverage along with the draft SWIP via the EPA's website on behalf of the authority on June 29th. A revision was made to the airport SWIP, at which time the NOI was resubmitted for review, and that is, I believe, a 60-day comment period. So the new target review date is October 20th. The airport's 2015 MSGP coverage status is administratively continued until that new permit is in place. Any questions at all?
I think we remember if it's the same thing that applied to us, that there are new posting requirements for this. You know, you have to know off the top of your head. I think you can post it on your website, or you can posted literally on a sign on the side of the building. You guys don't recall off the top of your head.
I know it has to be posted on the EPA's website.
No. Well, actually, that's one of the options, maybe, is it's on the EPA's website.
And I would suggest posting on the airport's website as well. Okay. If any operators or developers want to build on the airport, they'll know exactly what they're
doing. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Jackie suggested that, Nick.
Yes. And the ones up there, I haven't updated
since. Okay. Thank you.
So, one item. Is the airport prepared to make a motion to approve that supplement? Discussion you'd like to have on?
We made a motion for the chairman to execute all documents related to that SPG number. Should that be covered under the supplement or do we need a new one?
No, I think that would be fine. I just, I'm used to any financial changes to a contract would have to be approved by the chairman.
This is for the new business one as opposed to the specific financial one. For the typically, I think we have done a separate motion for these type of things. Mm-hmm. So
I believe the motion's already been done for that, unless you want to do another one just for the supplemental agreement.
Yeah, if we want to do that, that's fine. I'll put forth a motion that we approve the supplemental agreement as put forth by Gail in relation to project.
Pavement maintenance
project.
Second that.
Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
And you're opposed? So that carries. Thank you very much. Okay, so we have no committees. We have no outstanding old business this month. Karen Marshawn is, I understand she's ill. She's obviously not with us tonight, so we don't have that new business item. So the certificate of bill, vote, SBG 12-24-2021, Airport Coronavirus Relief Grant Program.
This is the one we've been waiting for. put forth a motion to authorize Farrell Woods, Chairman of the Nashua Airport Authority, to execute and deliver for and on behalf of the Nashua Airport Authority any contracts with the state of New Hampshire related to SBG 1224-2021, the Airport Coronavirus Relief Grant Program. Is that secondary part of that as well, or?
That'll probably be, if the second one comes in.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry. Never mind. I didn't read it. The space between the paragraphs included me in that.
Sorry.
I'm cheating all the way. I'm cheating.
Sure.
Okay.
Discussion. Okay. I will abstain, but, you know, all of the rest who are in favor of authorizing me to sign the grant, say aye.
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 Okay, and that sounds unanimous.
You can vote for yourself to sign.
Yeah, okay. Well,
no conflict of interest, unless you have a conflict of interest.
Right. No,
I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't.
Carol, I have those things, but after the meeting.
Okay. And that brings us to the land lease extension for non-perimeter. Shane, would you like to talk about that for a moment?
Yes, it happened to Carol. Stand here. She drove to me. Thank you very much for picking it up tonight. This is a routine lease renewal request for Hangar 9 or Building 9 at the airport. Oh, by the way, Shane McLaughlin for the record. Does anyone know where Building 9 is? Building 9 is located, and it might be easier to describe it, next to Steve McCalmont's hangar. It's three buildings up, a tan building. There are two green hangars adjacent to this one. It's the next tan hangar up from the next two green ones here. Rotor Technology is currently our sub-tenant in the building. They have a lease through January 9th, and we hope that they'll extend if their endeavor is continuing to do well. A little history in this background. I'll try to keep this very short, but my thought was to give you a little perspective and orientation. Forgive me for not having submitted a little bit more material by way of background, but circumstances were such, we just didn't have time to do it. So in terms of the history of the request itself, I actually made a request, as you know, back, I'm going to say it was in January of 2021, and the idea was to get the process started so that I could reach out and do the very thing which, due to circumstances recently, I have not been able to do, which is to reach out to several board members, or all of you, to at least give you a heads up. This is a routine request, but at least give you a heads up on what we were looking for. So that I was not able to do that. And we put through the request back in January, nothing mysterious about it, but simply because I hadn't been able to reach out to everyone in advance, and it was too tight, and I didn't want to hit the board cold, the authority cold, with the request out of the blue, if you will, just 10 days in advance. Nevertheless, I find myself here in the same sort of circumstances that I hope to avoid. Background and history on the lease itself and on the building. The building was constructed in 1987 by Tamborian Realty. Jake Tamborian was the builder. He was a Nashua businessman who owned Nashua Paper Box Machine Company. I think that's correct. You probably have some memory of that. And Chris does as well, perhaps. Jake Tamborian had several airplanes. This was a facility for his corporate aircraft. The lease originally that Mr. Tamborian had received from the authority ran from 1987 through, for reasons that are lost to history, an uneven time span, January 1st of 2001. We acquired the building, so it was constructed in 87. Lease ran through, first lease, January 1st, 2001. Mr. Cambrian had a second 20-year term, same terms and conditions. We acquired the building from Mr. Cambrian, more accurately out of bankruptcy, in 1997. Or close to that, if memory serves. On or about, or prior to the expiration of the first term under Tamborian, we requested and received from the authority a renewal for an addition. We exercised the renewal, which started January 1st, 2021, and continued 2001, and continued through right now, January 1st of 2021. shortly, well, some years later, and I think it might have been on around 2007, we approached the authority. Rick Lanis was the chairman at that time, and asked the authority whether the authority would be willing to extend to us an additional 20-year term, because our 20-year renewal, which was the second, in effect, the second Camborian term, again running from January 1st, 2001 through January 1st, 2021, that was an end of lease. It was all over at that time. So we came before the authority around 2007 and said, we'd like to have one additional term on top of that so we're not dead in the water when the time comes up in 2021. And we can use this in terms of marketing and collect. The building will be capable of being utilized for collateral. Then the authority extended that additional 20-year term to us. I believe I attached a copy of that in your packet. That was subject to renegotiation at your discretion of all terms and conditions. And so that's what we're here before you tonight, and that's what I hope to address with you in advance of tonight's meeting. I was not able to do that. I would anticipate that with respect to the renewal, the conditions that are really at the core would be the land rent, as well as the term. What we're seeking, what we're asking tonight for you to grant, is to exercise the renewal that's before you now for this additional 20-year term, commencing January 1st, 2021.
2022?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said that about five times. Thank you. That's a COVID phenomenon, by the way. You're losing a year and a half because of COVID.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure.
No, thank you very much.
I'm having trouble with 20 today.
You may need to interrupt again. Feel free to jump right in. Our current land rent on that facility is the original base rent escalated by the CPI, whatever CPI index you folks are using. The original land rent was 5 cents per square foot. And that's how the leases, as you know, back then were done. 5 cents a foot was the rate. That is now at 13.2 cents a foot. In other words, it is nearly tripled because of the escalator built into the lease. So we're currently paying 13.2 cents a foot. What we're asking is that we be allowed to continue at that rate, which is nearly triple what the original land rate was for the building, for the next 20 years. And we're also asking whether you would extend to us an additional 20-year term on top of that, subject to full renegotiation of the terms and conditions as you feel may be appropriate in your discretion. Let's see, what am I leaving out for other questions you may have or addressing other issues?
I don't see any issues myself. I think my understanding is that typically when a tenant comes to us with a renewal, it's a continuation of whatever lease when that building was built. But I don't know of any precedent or any history of us saying, well, yeah, you know what, that second 20 has been up, but so really that 13.2 goes away. We're going to start at 25 instead. I don't know of any, number one, reason to do that. Number two, any precedent or any history of us doing that. The only thing that we do is that when a new building is built, which hasn't happened for quite some time, we may have a new baseline for that particular land lease, and it just rolls forward from there. But as far as an existing building, I think historically we're just simply, taken that 5 cents and kept going with it.
I think that's accurate. We've been through at least a few of these.
One of them actually, it was an expired lease that we actually, it was this one, wasn't it? I don't know, but it was recently actually an expired lease, and we just said, yeah, let's pretend it didn't expire, we'll just keep going. Mm-hmm. So do anything differently at this point, I don't, it doesn't make sense.
There was some discussion at one point years ago about trying to
bring leases into a more consistent form. The nuance between existing,
well, I think it exists just by history, because as a building is built, I haven't looked back at 125 or 127, some of the newer, teen hangers, but I don't know of any reason to reinvent.
No, I'm not suggesting that there were. I think there was just some spots in some of the unique leases, let's say, that had, that went beyond the termination terms and all those other things that were clearly sort of out of bounds under modern current, requirements. I'm not suggesting there's anything in this.
I haven't seen any of those yet, but when they do come to us, we should probably see if we can have a little conformity going on.
And like you said, the 13.2 per square foot right now, this continues to be adjusted biannually by the CPIW.
It's as if the lease never expired.
Right, so it's just continuously.
Right.
It's not like it does continually.
Adjust
up, right.
Every
year.
That's right.
January, every evening.
Right.
Okay. What has happened if there's been a change of lessor? Has that been revisited by the board then? In terms of, like, if a new lease is coming up with a new.
So the building is sold.
And then is that then reevaluated, or do they benefit from the history of without rebaselining?
All these leases are assignable.
Yeah.
And so, unless somebody's, the timing is like perfect, that they're going to sell the same day they. And typically the tenants do come to us for that reason. If they anticipate either refinancing, they generally come to us 2 or 3 or 4 years, in one case, I think it was 7 years ahead of time to get that renewal in place. And so the sale of the building is usually not at all a factor in these rates.
In terms of also some historical context on the land rent rate and consistency, which is ultimately a really desirable thing for you folks to have, both internally as well as what you can represent to the public in terms of folks coming to you to lease. The last building, I'm not sure if the last building constructed, but it probably was, 81, one of our facilities. We lease that now at the memory serves 10 cents a foot, and we are current. So that was a new land rent, lease rate.
That's a new
base rent, 10 cents a foot. And we constructed that back in 2008, 2007 or 8. New building. And I think the philosophical concept back then was new facility, different context. Appropriate to contemplate new land rent rate. It's a new facility. It's got a new dynamic in terms of the business environment, existing business. Many times when folks come before you for extensions or renewals, they may have existing tenants. They can't raise the rent on the tenant. You may raise the land rent or contemplate that. It's a loss to them because their costs are what they are. So the new building since 2007, 2008, building 81, is at 25 and some change cents per foot, much higher than almost double the 13. So I think that kind of change was contemplated back in late 2000s in terms of moving forward for buildings. I don't want to hold or lock somebody up into, moving forward that wants to build a new facility, but I think that was some of the thinking. One other point, if I can add, in terms of costs to us, and I was sharing this with someone recently, our real estate taxes, for example, and I realize that doesn't go to you, and that's not your cost, but it's a real cost from a government entity to us, went up 4% for that building in 1 year, year over year alone, just that last year alone. We don't see any diminution in terms of the rate of increase in taxes over time. So our costs continue to increase, and I know, at least for this, for ourselves, as well as I suspect for other operators, it's been difficult to raise rents. And on that building, for example, we had a tenant that was in there for 15 years, Dr. Hampers, MDL Associates, their rent was fixed through that whole period of time, although land rent, utilities, other costs, and so forth continued to increase. We couldn't increase it, although we tried, because they wouldn't agree to it. and we were really stuck. We just needed to lease a building. So it's we're stuck in a little bit in a box on some of these things in terms of pricing and flexibility. We don't feel like we have a lot, and for many of our tenants, we haven't raised rates in, or been able to in many, many years. To the extent to which you folks can exercise discretion with respect to something like this, we're happy to have the escalator in place. That means a lot because it's part of the formula on this particular building. 81 would be very different at the high rate.
Brian? So help me understand the legal part of what you're asking. In not understanding these as well as I wish I did. On the very last page, where it says extension of term, Article 21, Item 2, it says the rent during such additional term shall be 240 times the last monthly rent. So is this an, I guess I'm trying to understand what elements of the lease you want to change, and it would be important for us to know specifically how you want the renewal language to read.
Identical, so that would not change, Brian. That would stay the same. That language is fine. Susan probably much better at understanding that. Every time we look at it in the office, we have to rethink.
Yeah, I have a formula also.
You do
now.
Too.
No,
but in response to your question, so Brian, nothing. And Chris, you can feel free to jump in too because you've got a lot of familiarity with this. I don't think anything has to change in the lease except the expiration dates.
Right. All he's asking for is an additional 20-year extension on his current lease with the current terms and conditions, and he is also requesting an additional 20-year
subject
to an additional 20-year starting January 1st, 2042.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. 42 through 62.
Very simple.
And at that point, to renegotiate terms and conditions.
So you're not locked in, and you came to us and said, listen, circumstances have changed. It's a very different airport. We've got commercial airlines here or whatever the case may be. You're not tied in.
So that terminology, if you do the math, it's the same thing. 13.2 cents, whatever, times that 240, that's just 240.
I have to use Excel to figure that out. I don't know who came up with that exact number.
So, are we settled that the language of the current, lease can remain the same?
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of shifting the dates?
Yeah. I can make a motion for that. Extend as requested.
We got kind of a written thing if we want to just follow that, maybe.
Go for it.
just to help, but you can read it if you want.
Once again.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff. Did you put in the additional term in there?
I did. I wrote that down there,
okay.
Yeah. So the motion is set forward to approve the extension of the request on the current ground lease of lot E-14909 Perimeter LLC beginning on January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2041, as well as an additional 20-year extension beginning on January 1st, 2042, extending through December 31st, 2062.
I think the only nuance there is that first 20-year you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
That's under current, under
the continuation. Yeah, but the terms and conditions remain the same as the original
one. And the second one, all bets are off, and we can
subject to negotiation.
That's subject to negotiation.
The wording is in here. And
yeah.
Right, so the initial term of 20 years would be at the current lease stipulations. The extension, the 20-year extension, would be subject to negotiation.
Yes.
Is that considered a first right of refusal by the current? I was just curious if the second term is considered a first right of refusal by the current lease.
No, it's actually, we have an agreement to negotiate on the second term. You're talking about the second term. Yeah. So the way that works is actually it's an agreement to sit down and have a conversation, which again I hope to have before today. And you're not bound or obligated, as I understand it. City Corporation Council can help you with that. But you're not bound, you're not committed. It is anticipated. That language anticipates that the parties will be reasonable in their conversation with each other, and that there will be that second 20-year term, and that the lessee is entitled to a second-year term, provided the parties agree. If one were to say, I don't want to pay anything for it, well, that's being reasonable, that's not going to happen.
I think that's a good observation. The way it's as if it is a right of first refusal.
Pardon me?
It's as if that becomes a right of first refusal because we can't...
For the tenant.
For the tenant. We can't go out and just wrap up a new lease at the end of that 20 years without first going to you.
That's right.
So, or anybody, any tenant.
It's an option for a 20-year...
Yeah. So I guess it isn't really, but it operates that way.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure different legal terms,
sure.
But I've
dealt
with that in other things, so I understand that.
No, that's a good question.
Right. In our commercial leases, we do have a number of them where we have the option, as well as the tenant has the option at the end of the lease, or in some of them we actually write in after so many years, we have the right to terminate or the right if you're going to redevelop or something like that. So. In this case, it does appear it's the lessee's option. If they want to renew, they get to renew, but it's predicated on all of us coming to terms. So.
Yeah. And that, again, that exists in most of the leases we have here now.
Yeah. Right, so the difference would be if they did an option and it just expired.
Right.
Then it's open.
Right.
As opposed to being a fixed right of first refusal.
Then the building reverts to us and the land.
Right. Automatic. So there's an automatic mechanism in there as opposed to...
Yep.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why these leases would be written in the way that the lessee gets to decide if they want to renew,
right.
as opposed to us just being able to say, you know what, we don't want to renew, you know,
right.
because in that case the building reverts.
Right. So we kind of hold all the cards and the case.
Right.
Actually, West Lutheran recording, that's not the case. The building will revert to the airport authority if the tenant chooses to leave it there. We can tear
that
out.
Sure,
we
can raise
it
out.
That's right.
Hopefully we never have that discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
That's a spiteful move.
I'm going to send my tear down so you don't get it.
Okay, so you've got that. So the language, that was good, the way you drove at it.
Right. So
and do we, was there
you want me to reread it?
No. Nope.
I'll
okay.
second it.
Okay. Was there a first, or is that, you were the first, right?
He was the first. Yeah. I'm fine with it. Okay. And Brian seconded that. So, is there any further discussion on renewing this lease? Okay. Okay. All those in favor of renewing the lease for 9 Perimeter, say aye.
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 Okay. And there were no opposed. So,
thank you. Thank you very much.
Glad to have you for another 10 years.
Maybe 4.
Maybe 4.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. You know, any of the people in this room now are going to be around for this discussion 20 years down the road.
I'll only be 86, so maybe 40 years I'll be
98. That's
the answer. I made it for 98. I still won't be eligible for Social Security.
Oh,
shut
up. That's not even funny.
40 years?
Well, no, 20 years.
Okay, good. I'm going to say 20 years. 15? What are we doing here? I don't think you're making a fly.
That microphone wasn't running, I'd be saying
okay.
Susan Treat.
I did not.
It
goes on the internet, just like that.
Yeah. No, she doesn't
beep
out anything.
I don't know how.
I'll show you.
So, upcoming events, Chris has already gone over those in his report, and that brings us to public input, you know, as we draw the meeting to a close.
Just
after
the rain.
Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, no public input. So, director's comments. Dave, I'll put you on the spot.
Okay, thanks. Well, I guess
from my
personal perspective, and I hope I speak for the board as well, that we were obviously saddened for the passing of Ken McLaughlin and Jane's dad, and you know the contribution that family has made to this airport is immeasurable, and so I just wanted to publicly pass on our thoughts and our prayers and
and to the family. And
thank you.
Anything we can do to help you guys out, you know, keep the history alive, keep the good stuff coming.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Same here. I extend my condolences, Shane. And for everything, thank you for everything that you and your family do for this airport and this community. There's a letter in here from Mark Frohman, just expressing his appreciation for how well this airport has run. I'm friends with Mark, and knowing him, he does not write those things lightly.
It's the other way.
Right. So I just wanted to make note of that, and you know, just thank you both as well for how you run this airport. So, recognition well deserved. So.
Thank you. Joe?
Shane, condolences as well. Obviously didn't know your father, but
thank you, Joe.
So thank you, and thanks for 40 more years. We'll see you. We'll see you around the
world. Well, Jenny runs the family.
Yeah. Nothing else, just that, the housekeeping note. I swore in August for my second five term at the alderman meeting, so you get to look at my ugly face for at least five more years. So.
One more reason to go virtual again.
There you go. I know. I can take them.
With filters.
Yeah, sure. And Shane, I'd like to extend my condolences. Obviously, I didn't know your father either, but clearly everything that's happened at the airport and the weight that you've had, I think really just on Nashua as well, has been significant. So
thank you, Jessica.
We definitely recognize his passion. You and your family carry along a good legacy.
Thank you.
I do want to actually make the comment about the paving project as it comes to a close. I recognize how enormous of a project it's been for Chris. I mean, I think Chris has probably worked 1,000 overtime hours to make sure that gets seen through. So I want to recognize that, and Susan and everybody that's been involved, and of course Gail Associates. Nick, thank you for everything you've done to carry that through. It's actually really phenomenal to fly into this airport and see how perfect things are really becoming. And I really think it's the best airport, but I think you can really take a checklist out and actually, make all the cases, and it's very factual.
I agree, it is the best airport.
That's awesome.
And if we once Foxtrot and the golf gets done, we're going to get even better.
13 years I've been part of it.
Yeah, but it's not without hard work, and I do, I live right up the road here, so I drive by this the airport, and I'm here frequently, and I see the NAA crew out, Elvin and everybody else picking up trash on the side of the road, and who knows what they're finding, hypodermic needles on the end there, and everything else. I mean, and it's very appreciated that that everybody's working so hard to keep everything nice, and I just think that we have an excellent crew, so I just wanted to commend Susan and Chris. And everybody here.
Thank you.
So, Shane, I as well, offer my condolences for your dad, once again. So correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that among many, many things, he was also the primary architect of these leases that have come up for discussion. So I seem to recall there was a push, when the board makeup was a little bit different a few years back. There was a push by one member of the board to completely rewrite all of the leases. Hmm. And, that caught the attention of your father, and he came and spoke for a good 20 minutes, I believe it was, about why that was not the best of ideas. That had an impact on me. I was really impressed. It was quite the speech.
Well, thank you. And Brian was bringing up the 240-month formula calculation for a minute. But thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it.
And I also wanted to single out Chris, with regards to the pavement project, because I came up and visited a few times, during the Wednesday lunches or at other times, and when Danny was out there, the folks from Continental were out there doing their work, Chris was right there with them, making sure that.
Tell them they're doing it wrong.
Not yet to mention the sinkhole that he almost fell in and had them fixed very quickly.
So, that was a lot of extra work, as Jessica mentioned, and thank you. And then, you know, I think the pavement work came out very well.
Yeah.
So that's all I got. So I'll make a move to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Okay. Now, discussion on adjournment. Okay. Well, we're adjourned.
Perfect.
Chris actually went on vacation, and for once, nobody crashed.
Oh, wow, yeah.